Winona Forever is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, head on over to cageclub.me. Hi, I'm Lindsay Gibb.
And I'm Rekha Tulsaram.
And this is Winona Forever.
Hello! Welcome to Winona Forever. I am sick. This is Rekha. Today is a very special day on the podcast because I'm not in the studio in the Kiss Chris office. I am in my bed.
Aww.
And in the studio we have Lindsay, obviously, Chris, and a special guest, Lee.
Hi. That's me.
Let me tell you about Lee. Let me tell you. So Lee is he's kind of like a, you know, one of these genius people. He's watched and reviewed every movie for the last 3+ years, but on Letterboxd. He's king of tough guys, but he recently took a breather. He is also, I guess I'll say this, is an associate producer and guest on a podcast rejected by the Cage Club Podcast Network.
That is true. Guilty as charged.
Oops. Sorry. And he's also in a band with Chris. They're called Childs. And also, this is the coolest thing. This is all I wanted to say about Lee, but I guess I have to say more. But he played the young Don McKellar in Don McKellar's film Last Night.
That is also
true. I forgot
true.
To rewatch it this, for the purposes so of meeting first, you.
If you did rewatch it, you would have been able to see me with no lines in like a polyester leisure suit. Like with like a Jack Russell Terrier jumping on me.
Okay. Ooh. I will rewatch
this
it.
This is the highlight of my film career, such as it is.
How did that come about? Sorry, I have to interview you about this now.
No, it's okay. I know that this you guys talk about the Canadian connection a lot.
Yeah.
So we're it's going to come back around. We're going to talk about Canada. But I guess I just had a working class mom who wanted to monetize the fact that I was a cute kid.
Okay.
So I just, you know, did
noise.
Like,
you know. How young was the young Don McKellar at this time?
I think I was like maybe 12.
Okay.
Yeah, they caught me just in time because like bad teen mustache was like right around the corner.
Nice.
Have you ever done the 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon?
I have not, but I thought about it like leading up to coming in to record today.
Interesting. Okay.
And
Interesting.
I'm not far removed from this movie that we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Twist.
I'm just like, what?
Should I tell you about the movie? Yeah, I guess.
Probably.
So, it's Star Trek. It is based on the original Star Trek series, but I guess it's like, you know, an alternate time area.
Rebooted and, for a new generation.
Yes, there it is. And there's Spock, and it's very exciting, and Captain Kirk, and all the good people. This is a terrible description, but I'm sick, so this is all you're going to get. A Harold from Harold and Kumar is Sulu.
That's correct.
Correct.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Zoe Saldana is Uhura.
Yeah.
And I can't tell the difference between Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth, but they were like father and son in this.
That's true.
Pine is the son.
So I thought they were the same person. I thought they just used the same actor as son.
That can be very confusing.
There are a few Chrises that seem to be the same person.
Yeah, I hear Chris Pratt get thrown into the mix.
Ah, that's the one.
I know
there's another one.
He must be like Kirk's uncle.
There you go.
Chances are. So, and also, Winona Ryder is in this movie.
Yes.
And she plays Spock's mom, Amanda Grayson, which is a very boring name.
It's pretty generic.
Yeah.
Well, she's the human, right? So I just gave her a human, boring old human name.
Token human.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I suppose she's not the only human in the movie.
I guess not. So what did you guys
think? That's your description?
That's my description. That's all I got.
Wow. I mean, I remember watching this. Okay, did you guys all watch this in the theater?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I did as well.
Yes. Yeah. I remember being excited about it, thinking it was good and fun.
But I don't think I've watched it since then. Like, I did rewatch it for this, but yeah.
No, same. That was my, like, I'd seen it in theater and never seen it again until last week or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Rekha, do you have a Star Trek ticket stub?
Yeah, I do.
Heck yeah.
That's how you know you saw it in the theater.
Yeah, exactly.
You got receipts.
Yeah.
I was pretty stoked to see Winona Ryder in a Star Trek film, even though her role is very limited. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I definitely saw it in theater.
So you liked the Treks before this?
Haven't really, like, this is a twist. I never really got deep into the Star Treks. Even when The Next Generation was out, I was kind of like, all the nerdy kids were watching it, and I didn't want to. But now I'm watching The Next Generation, which I was worried that I'd get, like, The Next Generation plot themes mixed in with this, right, this movie. So if I start talking about Q, just, you know.
Correct you.
Correct me.
No Q in this one.
No.
But there is a connection to The Next Generation, because the original series, like, takes place, like, many years before the events of The Next Generation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in that continuity, in that series, Spock's dad is still kicking around, and he has a new human wife.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay.
Kicked Amanda Grayson to the curb, I guess. But
right, because I guess in that continuity, she didn't die.
I guess so, right, yeah. Right. And also wasn't Winona, so who cares? But I only brought it up because there's a really great episode where Spock's dad, Sarek, is there and introduces his new wife as, "Allow me to introduce she who is my wife."
Oh.
And just a Vulcan way of speaking.
I have no idea. It's very formal. It's very arch. She who is my wife. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
And that's her role
it's
in this
very
movie.
Very memorable.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
She who is his wife, yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, it's another Winona movie that she's barely in. Mm-hmm. And I wrote down exactly when she's in it. I think she's in it three times. She comes in at 17 minutes the first time. Then I think she comes in at like 40-something minutes. And then maybe, oh yeah, and then at an hour and 2 minutes is when she's gone again.
That's it.
Permanently. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a baby Spock scene where there's young Spock talking to Winona. The first Winona scene.
Is there?
Isn't it? Or is it baby Spock? I wrote baby Spock, Spock mom. I have no idea what my notes mean. But
I could be completely wrong on this, but I think that there was a scene between baby Spock and Winona, and they cut it.
Yes.
So she's just, like, way too young to be the mom of Zachary Quinto for no reason.
Yeah, she's 8 years older than him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's completely ridiculous.
Yeah, I wrote down that in the last movie, she was dating a man who'd previously played her father. And then in this episode, she's the mother of someone that's, 6 years younger than her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so...
Cool.
Roles
in Hollywood for women.
Yeah, totally.
This is a great movie for women.
Yeah. So good.
It's a very progressive agenda.
Yeah. So, yeah, what did we think of Winona in it?
Ugh.
It's hard.
She really didn't really do much. Seconds. Yeah, like, it was kind of a useless kind of role.
Yeah, I mean, there was a purpose. The purpose was that she was, like, a tool so that we would feel sad for Spock. Like,
yeah. So Spock could feel sad about things, you know?
Right. Like, yes. He could have to show emotion. I read up on the scenes of hers that were cut, because I think there was actually something in the first trailer for the movie that, it wasn't a speaking part. I think it was probably a scene where she was speaking to, is it Sarek? Is that what you said the dad's name was? So, yeah, they were speaking to each other. Apparently, they were discussing Spock's reaction to bullying and how he should be reacting to the Vulcan kids bullying him. But it's just, like, in the trailer, it's just, like, her lounging on some, like, lounge chair or something and Sarek talking to her. And that's not in the movie at all. There's the newborn Spock thing that Rekha mentioned. And then, yeah, there might be some other ones, but they were saying in this thing that I was reading, it said that the writers thought, because we were supposed to, you know, feel Spock's pain, that it was good to have more of her, but then they felt that, the effect was the opposite. So they took her away, took more of her scenes away. So what, we'd feel more sorry for him if we barely saw his mother than if we got to know her? I don't know. Yeah, apparently yeah. She had final words to him in the script.
Oh, my.
She said it's okay to be scared.
As she was, like, falling off the cliff?
Yeah, I guess so.
Spoilers. Sorry. Spoiler yeah. Spoiler alert.
She falls off a cliff. And kind of, like, disintegrates. Like, I think she kind of also disappears at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really bizarre because it's not just Winona. It's not just Amanda Grayson who gets, like, fridged in this movie. Because the bad guy, Eric Bana, like, he's, like, mad about his dead wife.
Right. Who we never see.
She's pre-dead. Yeah, she's pre-dead. We see, like, a hologram of her.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. She's pre-dead and post-dead because he's from the future.
Right.
So.
Right, because he went through the wormhole and black hole or something.
So were you thinking the whole time, like, wouldn't old Spock, because, I don't know, because the timeline changed, wouldn't old Spock change too? I don't know. I was all confused. I was trying to do, like, a Back to the Future thing. Would he erase from the photo?
Oh, I don't think that Star Trek does the Back to the Future rules.
Also, isn't it, like, an alternate, like, it's a wormhole, like, or whatever, like... It's a parallel timeline or something, even though it's at a different point in time. I don't know.
It's a timeline where Kirk has more feelings about his dad.
Yes.
Because this movie has a lot of dad feelings.
Yes.
There's a lot of dad feelings.
This is the alternate dad timeline.
That's same thing that I was reading about all the missing scenes of Winona was saying that the reason that they put in those, like, dead dad, dead mom thing for Spock and... what's his name? Kirk was. They were paralleling them to McCartney and Lennon because of their dead parents and their relationship with each other. Yeah,
that's really bizarre.
Yeah, I was like, why though? Why?
That is a strange pull.
Yes.
Yeah.
What? Like, you have enough background with the Spock and Kirk relationship from previous material. Why do you need to turn them into the Beatles? I don't know.
As if this movie didn't already cater to, like, old baby boomers enough. It's like, you guys like Star Trek and the Beatles?
Yeah. So weird. Anyway, but it was still a good movie.
Did you hear that Beastie Boys song? When he steals the car or whatever when he's a kid.
Some of the music took me out of this a bit, and I think that was one of the moments where I was like, really?
Yeah, I have a major bone to pick with the music in this movie.
Yeah.
Sabotage.
It's so silly, and that's like, it's like a setup to a payoff in like two movies later, and it's so hack, and the original score in this movie is by this composer, like Michael Giacchino, I think his name is. Okay. And I have no idea how to pronounce that. But, like, it seems like his whole career is just, like, taking melodies from old stuff and then, like, making it busy for a new generation. Like, he did, like, Speed Racer. He did Spider-Man recently. There's a big old list of, like, all of the things he's, like, kind of tweaked and upgraded, like Jurassic Park and then Jurassic World movies. Like, he just plays other dude's stuff, but, like, I don't know.
It?
Yeah.
Weird. Mm-hmm. So he does all the reboots.
He's doing the reboot circuit.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I just saw Godzilla, the new Godzilla, and there's a bit of the, like, old school music in it, but I don't know if it's rebooted or not.
I can't keep track, honestly. Yeah.
Who knows? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Quinto, what's his name? What's his first name?
Zachary.
I always want to call him Jeremy for some reason, but anyways, there we go. Zachary Quinto apparently said about Winona. Winona brought a real tenderness to the role, and she really highlights the juxtaposition between her heartfelt way of being and Sarek's logic. I mean, that's entirely what her purpose was. So good.
Yeah.
Good that
yeah.
she did that.
She did that real good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think she, like, touched his face and said that things would be fine.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I guess said things. Oh, she said that, like, in her first thing where mm-hmm. he was, like, worried about whether he should be, whether he was denying his human side and his mother by, like, being a logic officer and being too Vulcan or whatever. Yep. She was like, I'll support. Yeah, she was a very supportive mom. She was like, no matter what you choose, it's the right choice. Or I don't know. I forget. I don't know the exact lines, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the moms in this movie are, yeah, they're supportive mm-hmm. and nice. And the dads are like complicated, like heroic figures mm. who like go against the grain or whatever. And it's just like, oh, really? Like,
yeah.
I feel like every like movie decade like has like so many relics of the past decade, but it feels like this was like this is like leftover like 80s stuff, like mm-hmm. and it was almost in this decade that we're in. It's right. just really like just gritting
is
my teeth through it.
2009 still?
I think
we're
it
still
is.
In
yeah.
Mm-hmm. boy.
But speaking of the moms though, did you guys notice that Kirk's mom's name is Winona?
What?
No.
Chris is holding up a card.
When was that? That was said in the movie?
I don't think it was even mentioned in the movie, but you'd yeah. see it in the credits.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess, was that canon that her name was Winona Kirk?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. You're saying no, Chris?
I said I don't know.
Oh, you don't know either. Mm-hmm. None of us know. Somebody listening to this does. And they're like, ah, no, it's not. Yes, it is. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tweet me at Human Canary and tell me I haven't used Twitter in 9 years.
So you won't notice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Rekha and I have ever told anybody on air what our Twitter handles are. We're just like, we'll post that on Twitter.
Yeah.
You find yeah. us somehow.
You'll find it. Search.
You'll find it the way that Kirk found old Spock.
Just
by just a total fluke.
Going into a cave on a random planet that you got projected onto. Yep. That's how you'll find us. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh,
Kirk's mom was played by the lady from House. Yeah. Anyway. What were you going to say, Rekha?
Oh, I just read that Will Wheaton, who played Wesley Crusher in yeah. The Next Generation, he recorded and digitally altered dialogue for many of the Romulans on Nero's ship.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
I like Will Wheaton.
Yeah, me too. I like his. I like Wesley's sweaters.
Yes.
In TNG, he has like right. a really like very contemporary looking hipster wardrobe that I enjoy.
Yeah. He's a cool kid.
Mm-hmm. did you catch the other like fun Romulan in Eric Bana's crew?
The fun Romulan.
Fun Romulan.
He's no.
Like, he's like had some margaritas after work. He's like he's not a regular Romulan. He's a fun.
Shirt?
Oh yeah.
That one. Right.
No, but the guy that plays like his like assistant. I don't remember the actor's name. But he was one of the vegan police in Scott Pilgrim.
Oh no, I would not have noticed that.
I
think
yeah.
I've seen Scott Pilgrim once. I don't have deep memories of it. But there you go. I feel like, is Bruce Greenwood the reason that you're very closely connected to this
Yes,
movie?
He is. There was another Canadian actor in this movie as well. Victor Garber was also in it, but he was cut.
Oh, that's
along
why
with,
I didn't know.
Along with young Winona, or I guess young baby Spock, but
yeah.
with Winona.
Probably not aged up Winona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Bruce Greenwood was in Exotica featuring Don McKellar, so like mm-hmm. I'm like... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm pretty close to Winona in the grand scheme of things.
Totally.
True.
Very, like, what is that, 2 degrees? Something like that. Well, good, because I wanted to mention Bruce Greenwood is this, because I wrote Nice Canadian Boy, Bruce Greenwood is
and, in this. And he plays a nice...
Pike is such a nice captain.
Yeah. I was glad he didn't die, because that he was, like, totally in the right zone to die.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, like, they fully were, like, they took the first captain we see. It's like, why don't you just, like, come here for a minute. Just, like, come over to this ship.
Yeah.
Which is not at all creepy or weird. And then just pulls the same move again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the heck? I didn't understand why. What's the bad guy's name again?
Nero.
I mean, it's Eric Nero. Nero. But yeah, why did Nero kill the first captain just because he told him that he was in a different timeline? Like, he just lost it. He's like, what? Space, time, whatever. What is it called? What stardate is this?
Yeah, what stardate is this?
Captain was brown.
You're right. You're right. I mean, I think anybody that went over there was bound to die, no matter what.
Yeah, he just had
like, you've answered enough of my questions. I don't need you anymore.
Torture.
I have to wait for Spock to be born and then old enough for me to get my revenge on him.
Right.
And then they disappear for 25 years, which
they just float around and don't age. I don't know. Do Romulans not age quickly? Do they live longer than humans?
I think they do.
Okay, there you go.
There's like a thing that. There's an explanation of where they are that's not even mentioned in the movie, like, at all. And, like, you have to, like, read a comic book to find out where they went.
Oh, my God.
Because everybody wants to know where Eric Bana was for 25 years.
Yeah.
So, apparently.
So they made a comic after this movie?
I think so, yeah.
That's, you know, the thing that happens. I love this. This is good information.
This is great.
I liked that Sulu fencing scene. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I liked that it at first seemed like a joke that he had only fencing skills. And then, of course, he had like a sword and was like ready to kill some people.
Yeah, badass, like retractable sword.
Yeah,
with like the like X-Acto knife blades that like lock into place.
Chris has something to say about this.
That's a joke, right? That was an Easter egg.
Yeah, because Sulu did fencing in the original series.
Yeah, he ran pages with a fencing thing.
In
man, I watched
not the naked now. In the something now, he like he loses his mind and he starts like swinging a rapier around.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
sweet.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, John Cho playing a Japanese dude. Mm-hmm. That's okay, I guess.
Happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like a lot of like small moments in the movie with like the supporting characters, like Anton Yelchin, who's great.
Yeah, it was also sad, of course, to watch him now.
I was bummed.
So, Lee, you've listened to this podcast before, I assume, and you know that I managed to bring it all back around to Nicolas Cage somehow. There is an Anton Yelchin documentary coming up, and it is narrated by Nicolas Cage.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
It's coming.
It all comes back. Everything turns on the axis of Winona and Cage.
Well, I just know a lot about Nicolas Cage, so something is bound to remind me of him.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who was in a movie with him or something happens in most of her movies. There's nothing about Winona that reminds me of Nicolas Cage. They never work together, but, you know, other things in life. And Anton Yelchin, is it?
Lee?
Yes?
Did you ever watch Star Trek Discovery?
No, I have not yet dipped my toe in those waters. I was over at a friend's house and they kind of just like put on the first episode of season two. And I was like, well, I know what's going on. And they were like, yeah. And I was like, okay.
No,
kind of like
no
suspiciously.
Way.
But it was okay. I didn't dislike it.
Is that the new one?
Yeah.
Okay. I watched a few
episodes.
I
really like it.
I need to get back
Pike
on
Pike is in it, and then, like, there's a Spock in it. Spock's mom is in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Spock's mom is played by Mia Kirshner.
Oh.
Oh.
She was also an
Canadian.
Exotica.
She was also in Exotica. Wow. It's like a big, like, Star Trek, like, family reunion.
Yeah.
In reverse, kind of.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Backwards. Interesting. The only Star Trek I watched was the original. So I think that was also why I was like, yay, I'm going to go see this one because it's the original people. But I don't have a lot of like deep memories of like the storylines or anything.
My only reference to the original series was from Ace Ventura, Jim Carrey, Do you remember that when he goes into the pool and he's doing a Captain Kirk thing? And he's like, you know, he's also doing the doctor. He goes, damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor, not a pool man.
Oh. Oh, I wrote down something about the damn it, Jim.
Yep.
But it happened.
Anyway, that was all.
It happened in the movie.
Throwback to Ace Ventura.
Big Ace Ventura throwback. Yeah, Carl Urban plays Bones McCoy. He's got the damn it, Jim.
He said it an hour. Yeah. It took an hour, but he said, damn it, I'm a doctor, not a physicist. That's the other thing. So we know why he's called Bones in this, because he said something about, like, my wife took everything but my bones or something when mm-hmm. he met Jim. And I just feel like, is that real? Like, I don't know. Like, why was he called Bones in the original? Was there a reason?
I don't know.
Another thing we don't know.
A mystery.
But this movie has a reason. And that's the reason, I guess.
Yeah, because he had to immediately throw a woman under the bus after meeting a dude like a minute ago.
You're right. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Did you notice the Tyler Perry cameo?
Yes.
I did. I was really excited about it. I kind of love when he's in serious roles.
He was
Perry
sufficiently
spotting.
Serious. Yeah.
Doing Admiral stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like him in Gone Girl.
Wow, oh, I forgot that he was in Gone Girl. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But yeah, that's a fun one.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a next-gen fan, so like, for me, whenever I see an Admiral, I'm like, oh, they're going to be bad. Because that's the plot of every episode with an Admiral in it.
Yeah. True.
It's like they're going to steal data or, like, you know, do a weird thing.
What do you think that Nero yelling Spock was supposed to be like an homage to Kirk yelling Khan? Yes. Yes. Lee's just like,
I guess. Well, the only reason I'm like kind of like, you know, vibing on that is because I'm not a big original series guy. I recently completed a big, like, 3,000-piece puzzle of original series characters, and I didn't know who any of them were. This is a look at my exciting life that I'm just filling my dining room table with puzzles.
Yeah.
But I love Wrath of Khan. I think it's just a great movie. So.
I don't think I've seen it. I need to
I've
see
never seen
movies.
It either. It's weird. It's movies that I know I should see, especially because, you know, Seinfeld reference to Wrath of Khan.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's the reason. It's a good reason. I respect it.
Mm-hmm. George was yelling a Twix. Was that the reference?
Oh,
I believe maybe. It was a Twix. Yeah, because you couldn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
He yelled Twix.
Maybe not.
No,
doesn't sound familiar.
I don't know. This is some more Lee Recca background. We've done Seinfeld trivia together.
Oh, you made a Seinfeld joke today on email, so I figured you knew that you both know Seinfeld things. So
I did indeed. Guilty.
Chris was also on. Maybe he knows.
Mm-hmm. He's not in the room right now. He left. No, he took off.
Nope. He's hanging with Beans.
Yeah.
Fair.
What did we think of Simon Pegg as, what's the name of the beam? Scotty. There you go.
I'm like, beam Scotty.
Yeah. I'm like,
Scotty. Sorry. That was, he was fine.
Yeah. I thought he was funny.
Yeah.
He was good. Good little funny moments. I liked his little friend, whatever that character was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When he like got all whimpery when he like got beamed away, I was like, oh, broke my heart.
It was a very cute whimper. I like the way that like his eyes move.
Yeah.
Like, and you can kind of like track the motion of them, even though they're like solid or whatever. But at a couple of moments in the movie, I was like, oh, this is just like trying to be Star Wars.
Yes. That was
really?
Very Star Wars.
Oh, because of the like little
people,
guy, right?
Which is like
little cute, you know, species.
Characters, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Star Wars movies can't get enough of them. And like, it's not as much of a thing with Trek. And I was into him. I like little like odd couple mm-hmm. pairings.
Yeah.
Mm. And he said something funny about like the way he eats like a bean or something.
Yeah.
And
that was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm talking about food.
Yeah. When William Shatner was doing a lot of like narrating documentaries, I was working for a documentary like trade magazine, so I interviewed him. And I asked him what the weirdest thing that Star Trek fans ask him about or say to him when they see him. And he was like, so like, oh, they always say, beam me up. And I was like, okay. I'm just like, of course they do. But he was like upset because he's like, I'm not the one who beams them up.
He's not
I was
Scotty.
Just like, but I mean, it makes sense that that's what people would yell at you. Anyway.
I'm definitely sympathetic. That would rankle. I'd be bothered by that. I don't want to be told to beam.
Yeah.
Do a beam.
He's like, it's not my job. Don't you understand?
That yeah, you'd have my to gig. Be like, what would be the equivalent of like a Captain Kirk greeting? And I'd be like, I've got to, mister. That was my.
Is that what you would
Jim
yell
Carrey.
At him if you saw him on the street?
Maybe. Maybe I would just like put my hand, like pretend I was speaking into like a communicator. I don't know. I have no idea. What would I do if I saw Captain Kirk? What would anyone do?
I probably wouldn't do anything.
That's true. I probably would just ignore it. But still, I don't know.
Yeah. Fair. You don't have to do anything. It's totally fine.
John Cho was actually hesitant of playing Sulu, but George Takei was like, just do it. He's fine. Yeah.
Interesting. That's nice. He had his support.
Yeah, definitely. Getting a little nudge.
Mm-hmm.
The new generation coming up.
Oh, so while most Trekkies will have known this detail for decades, this is the first time that Uhura has been given the first name on screen. Nyota.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have known that was her name.
Gene Roddenberry never bothered to give her a first name. So.
Oh, she didn't even have one? They made it up
no.
for this?
Yeah.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Feminist icon Gene Roddenberry.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked Uhura in this movie, even though, like, the relationship with Spock was a little, like, weird and, like, nepotism-y. Mm-hmm. I was, like, kind of, like, not fully on board with it. I was, like, really annoyed that, you know, Kirk was the one that was like, we gotta tell the captain about thing when it was like Uhura who had like done all the legwork of translating the thing, and she was just like at her station just chilling, you know. I was like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying she did bad, I'm saying the movie did her bad.
Yes,
you know,
of
was
course.
One of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
She's great though.
I forgot she was with Spock until his mom died and she was comforting him, and I was like, oh yeah, I totally forgot that was the story. Mm-hmm.
And they have a big smooch by the transporter pad.
Mm-hmm.
Beans. I hear beans and Chris whispering to beans.
They're talking to each other over here. When I was growing up in Brampton, I had friends that made a band called the Vulcan Dub Squad.
Oh, I know
so
that band.
I think of them when watching Spock related things. Yeah, I just wrote down Vulcan Dub Squad. I think when they were an instrumental band in the beginning, they got me to do like spoken word over their stuff, and I think I like sang the theme song, like the thing. I did that on the show. Anyway, yep,
that's serious cred.
Me and Vulcan related things.
They were one of those mask wearing bands.
Yes,
were they not?
Wear masks.
Were they wearing masks during the like, you know, spoken word era?
I don't think so. I don't think they were wearing masks yet. Though my husband has a better memory than me, so he'd remember. But beans begs to differ.
As a listener to this show. I know that your husband is into mask bands.
Oh.
Yeah, because of the Residents.
Because the Residents. He has a Residents podcast. Yes, yes.
But I think that's maybe more of a helmet than a mask. It's like a device.
Yes, it is a big eyeball, right? though, they don't all wear eyeballs. There's just like one eyeball.
Really?
Right, I think. Okay. And then, I don't know. I've seen them play and I can't even remember what they all had on their faces. Anyway. Yeah, they did wear masks. and then eventually there was lyrics they sang too, so whole change.
Movie does make a little another Sherlock Holmes reference. It's like a series trademark, I guess.
Oh, really?
But for the second time in a Star Trek movie, Spock quotes Sherlock Holmes's famous mantra, "If you eliminate the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth." Spock, Leonard Nimoy, used the same line in Star Trek, The Undiscovered Country, where he referred to Holmes, without naming him, as an ancestor of mine.
Yeah. I think I was reading something about that today, too.
And then, of course, Data made lots of references to Holmes in Next Generation.
I think...
Data.
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 I think in the stuff I was reading about Amanda, what's her character's name? Is it Amanda?
Grayson?
Grayson is that her, she's an ancestor of, oh, what's the author of?
Lewis Carroll?
No.
No?
The author of Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, Arthur Conan Doyle.
Yeah, she's an, that's one of her ancestors. Okay. Or
I got my wires crossed. There is a weird Lewis Carroll thing as well with her character in the original series. Yeah.
Interesting. Well. It's got a literary history then.
Very, very. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Spock has like serious Earth cred.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. This movie made me really mad.
Yeah.
I don't recall having a lot of feelings about it when it came out. I kind of just saw it and it fell out of my head. And then watching it this time, I was like, kind of like glowering at every like creative choice in it, but Winona was good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys have been going through a rough like period.
We have. And I mean, this movie was better than a lot of the movies she's done during this period, but it didn't do her so good. Like, she's probably in this movie less than a lot of the other movies that we've done, even when she's been a bit player. I feel like she's, we are getting less and less of her every movie.
Well, when you can count her scenes in one hand, then you know it's just like, okay.
And she doesn't even have, she has three scenes in this and she only has lines in one of them. That's
like her death scene, not a good... doesn't even speak, she just falls.
Oh, I guess in that scene she maybe says something, but yes, but when she dies she doesn't get to say anything.
Nothing.
And she doesn't even drive in this movie.
That's right.
I know. What's the point, you know?
I didn't see anybody driving on Vulcan, though. I mean, nobody left that, like, cave balcony.
Super advanced society where the kids learn in, like, upside down, inside out beach balls, and the adults hang out in a cave.
Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Winona. What's the next movie? Stay Cool. That's the one that I thought was going to be like a Travolta kind of movie or something, but it's actually like, not Miley Cyrus, what's her name? Hilary Duff.
Oh my God.
It's a remember we watched the trailer for it, like, I don't know, a couple months ago, and we were like, what the hell is this?
This
I think it's like a high school movie with Hilary Duff.
It's a sequel to Get Shorty. With Hilary Duff.
See, that's exactly what I thought.
I thought it was the same movie.
What is that movie
Another movie called Stay Cool or something?
No, it must be called something else. Does it have cool in the title?
Cool Runnings, Chris.
Be cool, maybe is the movie that I'm thinking of. Maybe. Yeah. I was thinking it was going to be that, and obviously Rekha was as well, because we were weirded out when we watched the trailer.
Sean Astin is in it. That's something.
Yeah.
And Chevy Chase. Oh, God. Weird.
You guys are going to have a great time.
Oh, yeah. I don't think so. My goodness. Such weird. John Cryer and the dude from Lost. Josh Holloway or something. Oh boy, what's happening? Now I'm confused because I thought it was a high school movie, but Hilary Duff is the only teenager in the thing, so I don't know what's happening. We'll find
out. Maybe it's like a coming of age.
Maybe. I don't know. Beans is just wreaking havoc. Woo!
She's done.
She's running all over everything over here.
All right. Well.
Cool.
Well, that was Star Trek.
It was.
It was Star Trek.
And it was fine.
It was fine.
Did you see any other Star Trek movies after this? Were there more?
There were two more in the series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did Into Darkness, and then I think the third one was called Beyond.
Yeah.
They were not very good.
I can't remember if I saw them.
Same. I don't know if I saw them.
It's possible.
Well, we know probably no Winona.
Yeah. I looked at Beyond, and she definitely wasn't in that. Well, yeah, she has no more Star Trek on her list, so yeah. I think I had hopes that she would show up in the second one, but... they were done with her. Cool. All right. Well, stay cool for next week. Or next 2 weeks from now. Sweet.
Cool.
Bye. Thanks, Lee, by the way.
Thanks for having me. Stay cool. Happy Winona Wednesday. See you later.
Thank you, Lee.
Winona Forever is part of the Cage Club Podcast Network. Episodes produced by Chris Landry. Music by No Refunds. Hosted by Lindsay Gibb and Rekha Tulsaram. Contact Rekha and Lindsay at winona@cageclub.me.